Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, Minister of Trust out of Cross Church, Southern Trinity Congregation, outside of South Tower. In the orientation today is March 25th, 2024. Already the 26th day of VFR 2028. We'll start our first service today with a song and then with a prayer, and then we'll go into our study. Shepherd God, Volume 2, number page 146. And we're going to grasp on part 2 of the exceeding great horn of Daniel. And we're on page 146. We're going to continue now where we left off. Well, let's do a little review from our last study. It's page 145. That's the last paragraph. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1, for the name Michael means who is like the Yahweh, for Yahshua in the express image of the Father, and the great prince of his people. The title signifies Yahshua at this time, for Yahshua, Michael, shall stand up for his people, and everyone shall be delivered who is found written in the book. Thus the Yahweh's people need not fear in the time of the trouble, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12:2. For it will be noticed that the resurrection foretold in this scripture is mixed. Some are of the righteous, while others are of the wicked. Therefore, this is a special resurrection, and independent of the one referred to in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For it plainly says that Yahshua himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of the Yahweh, and the dead in the Yahshua shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Yahshua in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Yahshua. For the John also makes it clear that the righteous only are called forth at the coming of the Yahshua. For he says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Revelation 10:20, verse 6. Consequently, the mixed resurrection must precede the one at the coming of the Yahshua in the cloud. Those who awake unto everlasting content must be those who pierce the Yahshua, thus fulfilling the following scriptures. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Revelation 1:7. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3. They who are wise are the ones who shall understand, and they shall turn many to righteousness. Thus they shall shine as the stars forever and ever. These are not those who were resurrected in a special resurrection, for it would be after the close of the probation and about the end of the seventh plague, but just shortly before the coming of the Yahshua. Thus, the resurrected ones would have no chance to turn any to righteousness. Therefore, those who shall shine as the stars are the 144,000, and all who shall have a part in the closing work of the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, they call it in one word the gospel, think of the glorious promise. Is there anything like it in all the world? What can you compare with the celestial bliss in the presence of Yahweh, life everlasting, without pain or tears? See Revelation 7:17 and Isaiah 11:67. 65:25. But now, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Then it shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12:4. What plainer evidence should we ask to convince us that this is a time of the end? Has knowledge been increased? Are many running to and fro? While Daniel does not tell how the running is accomplished, Nahum does, for the church shall be with the flaming torches in the day of his preparation. The church automobile shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad way. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like lightning, Nahum 2:3-4. For the prophecy being understood, it is evident that the book is unsealed and that the time of the end is upon us. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be into the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to shatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel 12:5-7. For the question was that, how long shall it be unto the end of these wonders? The answer is, that it shall be for a time 1 year times 2 years and half time, a half a year. 30 days in a month, 12 months to a year, equates to 1,260 prophetic days, years. For the prophetic period, points back to the papal supremacy and the persecution of the Lawless people from 538 to 1798 A.D. See Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 12:6-13:5. Take for the end of the long prophetic period in which the papacy shattered the power of the holy people is in the past by 130 years. For the angel declared, in this time all these things shall be finished. Does not all this prove that we are on the verge of eternity? Will you, brother, will you, sister, adorn yourselves with the righteousness of the Yahshua, or will you wait a little longer until after the harvest is past? Someone shall utter the following words and the great disappointment. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Shall you, or what, or I shall I? And I heard, but understood nothing. I said, O my master, what shall be the end of this thing? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel 12:8-9. Are they closed now? If not, then is not this the time into which the prophet refers? Blessed is he that awaiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days, Daniel 12:12, and that time would be ended in 1844. This is the end now of that study, and we're going to continue on with this hour with the second title. The Beast, 666, False Prophet, Mother of Harlots, Men of Sin, who are they? Okay, as we continue on now our study, our title today is The Beast, 666, False Prophet, Mother of Harlots, Men of Sin, who are they? For the mythical number 666 of the beast in Revelation 13:18, as applied to the papacy, proves to be unscriptural as well as unreasonable. While the numerical letters have the title of the Pope bears the number 666, there are many other titles as well as names of the individuals who bear the same number. By simply computing the numerical value of letters in a title or name, we find it fits many. Hence, we must look for the biblical proof to make the application. Except we thus prove the idea, it would be improper and unfair for the plan of the symbol unto any one individual. For the idea concerning the symbolical application of the false prophet of the Revelation 19:20, for the woman on the scarlet colored beast of the Revelation 17, with the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13, with the scarlet colored beast of the Revelation Revelation 17, and the nondescript beast of the Daniel 7 as being symbols of the papacy is unbiblical and also illogical. And I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had the two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66, Revelation 13:11-18. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, Revelation 13:14. For the beast spoken of here is the one with a lamb-like horn. But someone else is introduced by the pronoun he, who had power to do miracles in the sight of the beast. The lamb, like the following scripture, will make clear who it is that performs the miracles. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, before the two-horned beast, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of the fire, burning with the brimstone, Revelation 19:20. Therefore the miracles are wrought by the false prophet in the sight of the two-horned beast. There are many beasts spoken of in the Bible, but the two-horned beast is the only one that can be termed a man. It will be noticed that from the 11th verse on of the 13th chapter of the Revelation, the scripture speaks of the two-horned beast and closes with the words, "For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Therefore, the mystical number 666 belongs to the two-horned beast and none other. However, we may not conclude that no one before it could have such a number. For the idea that the papacy is called the beast is altogether wrong. The papacy is represented by the symbol on two different beasts. First, on the nondescript of Daniel 7, by the little horn having eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Second, on the leopard like of Revelation 13, by the head that was wounded to death. These beasts are universal, representing the entire world in their time, both civil and religious. Therefore, it could not be said of other beasts, it is a man. For the papacy being only a part of both beasts, horn head on one and a simple and simply a wounded head on the other cannot be called the beast. For the two-horned beast is as the only one representing a local religio-political government. Therefore, of him alone can it be said it is a man. Thus, whosoever shall stand at the head of that persecuting power, as described in the chapter and represented by the beast, is as the only one who shall bear the mythical number of 666. For the spirit of the prophecy also states that the king of the north brought to view in the Daniel 11:45 and the two-horned beast of the Revelation 13 is as the same power, and that it shall bear this mystical number 666. For we quote this power is of the last that treads down the true church of the Yahweh. And as the true church is still trodden down and cast out by all Christendom, it follows that the last oppressive power has not come to his end, and Michael has not stood up. This last power that treads down the saints is brought to view in the Revelation 13:11-18. His number is 666, a word to the little flock. We have proved the truth of the number one way, now we shall prove it in another. For the destruction of the beast and the prophet, the destruction of both the false prophet and the beast is clearly foretold, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, these both were cast alive into a lake of the fire. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which a sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:20-21. For their final end is accomplished by their being cast alive into a lake of the fire. But the result of the world, the remnant, were all slain with the sword, which proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with the flesh. For the lake of the fire, into which the beast and the false prophet are cast, cannot be at the coming of Yahshua in the cloud, for the wicked are not destroyed by the fire at that time, but with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. For the beast and the false prophet are cast into a lake of the fire after the sixth plague and before the end of the world. And this destruction of the remnant, those that were with and were left after the destruction of the beast and the prophet, is not after the millennium. For the wicked at that time are not destroyed by the sword that proceeded out of his mouth, but by the fire that came down from Yahweh out of the heaven and devoured them. Revelation 20:9. After the millennium and the destruction of the wicked, the living creatures will eat another. See Isaiah 11:6-9. Hence the beast and the false prophet are cast into a lake of the fire before the millennium, and that lake of the fire becomes a type of the destruction of the wicked on the other side of the millennium, the second death, for the final destruction of the entire multitude is described in the following words, and death and hell were cast into a lake of the fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of the life from was cast into the lake of the fire. Revelation 20:14-15. Thus the world would be given an example before the millennium of the destruction after the 1,000 years had ended, for the example of the beast and the false prophet is to show that all the wicked will be thrown alive and into the lake of the fire, and that is a second death, speaking of the everlasting ruin of the devil. The world said, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Revelation 20:10. That is, the beast and the false prophet do not come up in the second resurrection, exemplifying that there is no resurrection from the second death. Again, we see there is a type for every event, and let none despise type, for where there is no type, there is no truth. The number 666 is further proven by the destruction of the man of sin. For it has been explained that the papacy will remain to the last. For the woman on the scarlet colored beast, Babylon the Great, comes to her end at a different time and in another way. She cannot be a symbol of the papacy as some have thought. Revelation 17:16, speaking of the woman and the horns of the scarlet colored beast, says, and the ten horns which thou sawest on the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. And note, she is not cast into a lake of the fire, like the beast and the false prophet. But they, the horns, shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh. Thus the woman's destruction is at a different time and in another way than that of the papacy for the false prophet and the beast, since what has been said cannot be contradicted. It is evident that the beast is one thing, the false prophet another, and the papacy another, and a woman still another. It is of the great importance that these things be correctly understood, for by the knowledge of the truth only can Yahweh lead his couple, his people onto victory. The time of the woman's destruction. To determine the time of the Babylon woman's destruction, it will be necessary for the referring unto the Daniel 7:11-12. I beheld then because of the voice of the great word which the horn spake. I beheld till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given unto the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had the dominion taken away, and yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Concerning the rest of the beast, the lion, bear, and the leopard, their dominion was taken away, but they remained alive, while the nondescript beast came to his end. The beast that remained alive represents the descendant of the three ancient empires. While their dominion is taken away, the inhabitants' beasts are here at the present time. The end of these beasts would mean the end of the world, for the nondescript beast is not the last beast of this world history, for he is followed by the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13:1, and the scarlet-colored beast of the Revelation 17:3, for the latter is the last symbol of the historical event by which this present world and the one after the millennium shall be brought to an end, as previously explained. Therefore, the destruction of the nondescript beast is before the second coming of the Yahshua. if the lives of the three beasts, before it were prolonged, their time cannot be extended beyond the second coming of Yahshua. Says of the Daniel, their lives were prolonged for a season at a time. Therefore, from the time that the body of the nondescript beast is destroyed, there will be a season at a time until the end of this present world. That would be a year and 3 months. If the Daniel means a year by time and a half year by dividing of time, in this 25th verse of the same chapter, then he must mean the same in the 12th verse. If the interpretation holds good in the one verse, it must in the other. Therefore, time would be 1 year, and a season a fourth part of a year, thus making a total of 1 year and 3 months. However, the period in the 25th verse has a prophetic term of 1260 years, but the time in the 12th verse cannot be prophetic, for then it would mean 450 literal years. It is evident that from the time that the beast is destroyed until the end, there will be 15 literal months. It shall be noticed that the destruction of the beast is prophetic of the destruction of the woman. For we quote the complete, referring to both. Abihail told the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame, Daniel 7:11. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, he shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn on her with fire. Revelation 17:16. For the destruction is the lack of both beast and woman. Furthermore, it is appeared with the symbol of the woman riding on the beast that makes an image of the leopard lion. In his first stage, before wounded, or of the nondescript beast in his second stage, for the 1260-year period, was represented by both beasts. The image is a false religion internationally set up. Therefore, one is the likeness of the other. Thus, the destruction of the original nondescript beast as a prophecy of the destruction of the woman, and the destruction of the one is the destruction of the other, for it prophetically signifies that the image woman riding on the beast, the union of that religio-political system, shall perish 15 months, season and a time, before the remnant rest of the world. Let it be remembered that Daniel's vision is a prophecy, and the vision by John is a revelation. Therefore, the destruction of the nondescript beast is a prophecy, and the destruction of the woman in the fulfillment of the prophecy. For the following scriptures referring to the time that the woman was destroyed said, and after these things I heard a great voice of the much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation, and glory, and honor, and power unto the Yahshua, our Savior, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of the servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped Yahweh that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our Yahweh, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Revelation 19:1-5. For the woman was destroyed, and her smoke ascended up forever and ever, while the elders and the beasts were before the throne. This proves that the judgment in the most holy apartment had not ceased, or at least the tribunal had not yet vacated the place of the judgment. Explain in another chapter, for after the saints are numbered and sealed, their sins blotted out in the aforesaid judgment, probation shall close, and the sanctuary where the judgment is held shall be vacated of the elders and the beasts, as well as the Lamb, and of the entire angelic host, after which no man was able to enter the temple till the 7 last plagues were fulfilled. See Revelation 15:5-8. Thus it is clear that the woman was destroyed before the 7 last plagues were poured out. Quoting Revelation 19:6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of the many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Yahweh omnipotent reigneth. While Yahshua is in the sanctuary and the judgment in the progress, he does not reign, but is a priest and an advocate, blotting out the sin of the righteous. But when he is through with the investigative judgment, then he is crowned King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. See Revelation 19:16. Let's do that again. He's a crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
No, King of Kings.
They crown him as Lord of the Lords of this world. See Revelation 19:16. After the smoke of the woman rose up forever and ever, the heavenly host shouted, Hallelujah, for the Yahweh of omnipotence reigneth. Therefore all the saints were judged prior unto the destruction of the woman, and after she is burned with the fire, Yahshua is crowned King of the Kings and Lord of Lords. Then the temple will be vacated and the 7 last plagues poured out. For the following scriptures bear further evidence, said the heavenly host, Let us be glad, rejoice, and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Continued the angel, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, the sending out of the heaven from Yahweh, Revelation 19:7-9, 21:9-10. Therefore, the Lamb's wife is the holy city. Now, I'm not going to go there. The Lamb's wife is not the holy city.
Yes, it is.
The Lamb's wife is the first fruits of the Adventist Church of the 144,000 when the harvest starts. They're the five wise virgins in the Adventist Church that were sanctified by following present truth every day, by putting the extra oil in their vessel every day so they could continue on until the end of time. And those called to the marriage supper, for the saints are the guests. No, the saints, his 144,000, his bride, they're the saints. It's the laity that converts unto these saints that are the guests. See, a great controversy. Page 427. They who were before the throne said up the new Jerusalem, his wife has made herself ready. And unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19:7-8. Therefore, the Lamb's wife will be ready at the close of the probation when the saints are numbered, for they are, and those numbered saints are 144,000, and they are her linen. And at the time that the woman Babylon was burned, the saints, 144,000, representing the linen, were ready. Her destruction shall be a signal that probation has closed. Then some shall be conscious of their doom and shall say, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Others shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even unto the east, they shall run to and fro for the seeking of the words of the Yahshua, and shall not find them. Amos 8:12, when the Yahweh's people shall have ceased from the Yahweh given work, their answer will be, we have nothing for you. The harvest is past. Salvation has ceased. You are too late. Who is the false prophet? Is our next subtitle. Who is the false prophet? Is our next subtitle. It says that, as previously explained, the false prophet is not the papacy or the two horned beast. Neither is he the devil. For we read, and the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Revelation 20:10. Therefore, the false prophet is the one who shall precede the manifestations of the Satan himself, said the apostle, no marvel, for the Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. As the doctrine held by the false prophet cannot be fully supported by the scriptures, miracles are performed for the securing of the confidence of the people. As the great men and religious leaders declare to the public that the so-called true religion is the truth of the Yahshua, and that the false prophet is his servant. Multitudes will fall into the Satan's snare. His false prediction of the coming of the Yahshua will be fulfilled by the Satan himself. As he appears as an angel of the light, his dazzling brightness and the false fulfillment of the prophet's prediction, in addition to the already overwhelming confusion or the delusion, will ensnare a multitude greater than the first. While appearing unto the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster into a populous city, are reduced to ruin and desolation. The Great Controversy, page 6589. For the woman sitting on the heads is our next subtitle, and last one, said the angel, the seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, Revelation 17:9. It has been previously explained that the heads represents the present day apostate Christendom. See pages 88-96. They are called mountains, denominations, seven in number, meaning all. As the prostitute sits on all seven, the symbol with the unmistakable evidence reveals that so-called Christendom will submit itself to be governed by the one head, of which the woman is a symbol. See the Great Controversy, pages 588. Preliminary to that miracle working power, Protestantism, Catholicism, and spiritualism will have grasped each other's hand by the means of a church federation. For the difference of the opinion and the doctrinal points will be considered of no vital importance for salvation, for they will see in that apparently innocent union a great movement for the settlement of the differences as well as for the conversion of the world at the appearance of the false prophet and of the Satan himself, and their expectation would be realized. And the ushering in of the long expected millennial time of the peace shall be proclaimed to be at hand. Thus on the surface it will bear evidence that the world's crises are about to end. But as Yahweh's people have been warned of it all, their refusal to worship the image of the beast, which is a false international religion, and will be charged as rebellious, the disturbers of the peace and troublemakers. This will bring the great persecution of Revelation 12:17. To them it will be said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? As the saints answer them in the manner of the prophet Elijah, nay, that you have forsaken the commandments of the Yahweh, and thou hast followed Balaam, it will incur the displeasure of the wicked and cause them to enrage against the innocent This brings the end of our step this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now this call.